He's probably, yeah, after Joe, I'd say he's probably one of the, probably up there, one of the top three lads I've ever marked. Movement and his pace is just like, I remember marking him one day down at Tyne, and you'd be beside him, and next thing he's just like a racehorse. He'd take off, like, and there was no catching him. And then the problem then as well is that he's a strike of a ball. Like, he can strike off his back foot from 70, 80 yards. You can't even give him space. Like, so when he's on form, like he was the last in the first half, he's up there with being unmarkable. And it's good to see him back now as well, because I know he went through a stage here of injury. So, but again, when he got the ball in front of him the last day, he's so hard to mark. Like, he can strike off his left and his right the same way. So, like, he's another threat inside if he wants to bring him inside. Like, I don't know. Like, I think myself, I like him coming out as a floater, like him jumping the third man from forward, and that comes out the field. But because striking is just like, you give him a ball 70, 80 yards out, he can pop a point. Not that the rest of the lads can, but it just gives you a better, like, a different option. And you put him in full forward or in the full forward line for a while, then if you want to bring Wheelo or Beano out for a while. But McCall is up there, one of the hardest players I've ever marked, definitely.
Is he just one of these goal players that has the X factor?
Yeah, he just has it all, right? Like, yeah, and it just comes so natural to him as well. Do you know the whole running side of it? Like, he's one of those lads that I hate anyway, and a lot of lads hate, where he could go out and he could eat Supermax tonight, and he could go out and he'd eat and sprint all day tomorrow, and you mightn't eat or drink for the last 5 weeks. He's just naturally very a really good athlete.
The Maroon and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie. Welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. It was a draw for Galway at the weekend, where it finished all square in Pearse Stadium, 17 points apiece with the All Ireland champions, Limerick. Positives in somewhat, but probably disappointing given Limerick played a long period of the game with 14 men. That ends Galway's league campaign. They don't reach the semi-final and ultimately now won't play for nearly a month, you could say, in the opening round now against Carlow in the Leinster Championship. So that'll be their focus. I'm joined now by Craig Lally. Craig, what do you take from Galway's draw with Limerick at the weekend?
I suppose it was a bit of a topsy-turvy match. It was ups and downs, and I suppose considering that Limerick went down to 40 men so early, I'll probably be disappointed that they're not in the league semi-final, and have another maybe one if not two matches before championship. But overall, it was good to see, I suppose, a few more of the older heads back, and more minutes into Joey Cooney and Brian Kilkenny come back, and a few of the younger lads like Gavin Lee and stuff stepping up to the plate. And when there was a real test, like this one, the match Galway would have been aiming for the very start when the league fixtures come out, to target. So overall, I suppose, happy to get a draw for a finish, considering the way the game ended. But I suppose disappointed really with, considering the way the first half panned out, and the fact that we were 3 points in at half time and probably looked in control of the game, the way the second half was. But again, I suppose when you actually delve into it and look at it, I suppose Limerick bringing on the key players at half time and the start of the second half that really settled them back into it. Overall, I think like, it was a very competitive match. I spoke about it there probably before we come on air about the pitch and conditions. I suppose definitely it wouldn't be your normal Galway Limerick match down through the last few years, where fast ball and out in front and quick hurling. It was very sluggish, I suppose, and a lot of big hits, and the ground played a big part in that. And I think overall, when both teams look back on it, like, it was fairly low scoring for what you'd be normally used to for Galway Limerick. And no goals, and a lot of wides and a lot of bad wides at that as well. A lot of missed opportunities. And I suppose when both teams go to break it down over the course of the week, or always case over the next few weeks leading up to championship, that'll be a big factor of how they miss so many chances at fighting stages.
Was it important for us just not to lose that game, given our record against Limerick, really, since you could say 2018?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that especially the way they came back and the way they fought at the very end, and I'd be happy with that. Especially you know, the way they dogged it out at the end, and the younger lads were on the pitch at that stage as well. So it's always important not to lose a game, definitely. And like, no matter what way you look at it, Limerick did did finish up on the pitch with a lot of the Ireland winners, Will Donoghue, Garry O'Hegarty, Dermot Burns and Peter Casey, to mention a few that come on in the second half. So they did finish strong. I know they were still missing a few more. Sean Finn was in the bench. And there was a few more still to come back, but at the same time, that was a fairly strong Limerick team that finished out the game. So there's a lot of positives to take from that, especially the goal. It was great to see that they did bring it back to level when they went 1 point down and 2 points down. And Henry has to be very happy with that. And that's definitely one of the main positives to take from it. And I suppose over the course of the whole league campaign, he's used a lot of players, and on the overall side of it, I presume he's fairly happy with how the league campaign went, bar the fact that he didn't get through to the final.
Nice bit of bite in the game. The schmozzle over near the stand, Shane O'Brien gets dismissed. Adrian Toohey's shoulder, he receives the yellow card. Joseph Cooney in the corner against Fergal O'Brien. And then David Burke probably does connect somewhat with Peter Casey, but gets a yellow card. So there was a nice bit of bite building between these two teams as the game went on.
Yeah, there was without doubt, and like I think at the very start when Galway came out of the blocks fairly quick, I think that they were there to set a marker. And over the course of the first half, they were definitely the better team, and a lot of that was pure aggression, and they were in Limerick's face, and they were looking to start them schmozzles, and they were in hard and tackles, and it was great to see, and it's what you want to see. It's what Limerick are renowned for the last 5 or 6 years of hard work and big hits. And like there was without a doubt, there was. I suppose I'd say when Henry looked back in it, or the Galway team as a whole looked back in it, they were probably lucky not to have a man sent off, definitely. Whether it be Ado or Davy or, they were borderline. But look at the end of the day, it was the conditions that brought that to it. Like, it was just the ball was getting stuck in the ground. It was causing these sort of roughnesses, and then late hits. They'll always happen with weather like that and games like that. And I think the Sean Lennon one, I think, was a small bit harsh. I think when you look back at it, like a lot of those sending offs really happened when the guard is pulled off. Opposed to, I think with that one, it was kind of just, it was a rub of the arm that flicked off the head more so than the guard being pulled off. So it was the fourth official actually that the referee was going to let it go, but the fourth official called it back. So, and with those type of conditions and with those, with the pitch the way it was, normally the referee would tend to try and even it up as the game went on. So in all fairness to Galway, even though there was some of them borderline, their discipline was fairly good from there on in for the next 15 minutes after that. But yeah, look, I suppose overall it was a tough game to be a referee in. Wouldn't like to be a referee in it myself, like, because there was a fair intensity to it, and as I said to you, the conditions didn't help in the rain down there in the second half for a while as well. So Pearce Stadium, I tell you, it did well now to hold them 2 games on Saturday, considering it was fairly rooted up by the time the hurling was over before the football started.
On the middle third, it was highlighted on this in the game last night that that's where Galway really did match Limerick over the weekend. Is that the most impressive aspect of Galway's performance from the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. Like, and I think like if they are to compete, and if they are to get to the level that they want to, and like, without doubt, Henry's goal will be to get to an Ireland final this year. That's the part of the game that they really need to up this year, and they need to bring it. Like, is the middle third, the big tackles, tackling units, and the likes of Keenan Fahey, Ronan Glynn, Ado, the half back line that started there. Like, they laid down the markers earlier. They're putting the hits. They're three solid men. Davy and Sean Lennon in the middle of the field were pushing on as well, and Tom Mann, Gavin Leeds, I thought did great work up and down the field and chipped in with his 2 points as well. And Joey Cooney, of course, in like who'll always be in and about with the likes of those hits. So that middle third was it was good to see them working so hard at the weekend. One thing that we did know, I was the Limerick man that was beside me at the match, was that we noted a few times as the game went on, was that it starts to get very muddled in the middle of the field though. Like, there was times there when it was Aaron Gillan. There was nobody between Aaron Gillan and Fintan, I'd say, was it at the time? There was only one back and one forward within the 45 of both teams. So it did get very congested in the middle third, in the second half in particular. But that'll happen, I suppose, with the way the conditions were in the field as well. But that's one thing I suppose Galway will have to make sure it doesn't happen as the year goes on, that whatever about Sean working hard in the middle third, that they've lots of protection in the full back line. But yeah, overall I think they'd be happy, I suppose, with the extra man, and that middle third. Horik probably sat back as kind of nearly an extra fullback when Shane O'Brien got sent off. So I suppose that was one thing, I suppose, that when they look back at it in the second half, maybe they should have tried something different there. They were very competitive in the middle third, but maybe they should have pushed on Pádraic or something like that. Or I don't know, do we get the most out of the extra men? Do you know what I mean? Like, and in particular in our pop-ups in the second half, just that was in front of me there in the second half. Like, just felt like Darragh was giving Pádraic short puck out. Pádraic was just hitting it down to the half forward line and probably doing what Darragh could have done. And maybe we didn't get the most out of our extra man there like that. Maybe we should have worked up through the lines like Limerick were doing. Limerick did an awful lot of short hand passes, 5, 10 yard hand passes, maybe 15, 20 hand passes before they even got to the half forward line. And maybe that's something that we might look at. Now, I know it's easier said than done, and Limerick are doing it for the last 5 or 6 years, and we've a lot of new players there. But like, we definitely have the potential to do that, because when you've Jack or you've Darren or Fintan or even Doughty when he comes back there, and they're powerful runners, that they can come out just as good as the Limerick lads, that's maybe something that I think that probably let us down in the second half, and we had the extra men, but we could have used it an awful lot better on the overlap, you could say.
Just interested to get your views here as a former Inchcounty defender. Our delivery from the halfback line at stages hasn't been good enough throughout the league. Sometimes we're hitting the ball in, it's a defender's ball all day. And even some of the ball going into the forwards the last day, it was difficult for them to get their hands on it. What's your view on goalies' delivery from defence to attack at the minute?
Yeah, and like, it should be one of our strongest points, because we've two of the best full forward line, two of the best full forwards in the country. When they get good ball in Beno and Wheelock, like when Connor and Brian are on form and the ball is coming into the corners, they're unmarkable. Like, they're as good as Aaron Glenn or James Flanagan or whoever, Peter Casey. But it has been a bit of an issue right now, I suppose, compared to Limerick. Like, if you look down to the last 3 or 4 years, you've Kyle Hayes, you have Declan Hannan, and you've Jimmer Burns. They are the half-back line for the last 5, 6 years, so they know each other so well. It flows so easily, and they're normally the main deliverers of the ball into the full forward line. And maybe it's our half-back line over the last couple of years has seen so many changes that maybe that could be a factor, that we aren't, maybe we need to settle on a solid half-back line that allows the delivery ball to be the same every day. Because if you actually look back at the replay from the match the last day, the delivery of some of the Limerick ball was very, very good. Aaron Gillan and Seamus Flanagan actually wasted a lot of ball the last day. Gillan ran out over 2 or 3 balls, which is very unlike him. But again, conditions didn't help. And Seamus Flanagan, who actually got on the ball, but actually didn't make much use of it. He got blocked down a few times by good defending and forced balls back and one or two wides. And but I the movement that they have inside the two boys, he's as good as Connors and Brian's. Like, there is no difference to moving, but it's just, I think it's something that we have to look at, and we have to get back into the group as the championship goes on and gets going. I think that's something we really need to work on, is get the ball into the two lads, Connor and Brian, if they're inside, or if Connor Cooney goes in or Evan is in there, that the ball is good inside and we make use of it, because like, that's Limerick's game plan off to a tee. No matter how many hand passes they come off or bring out of the backs, it's always get the ball to the zone where you let it in, then Darragh Donovan or whether it's Will Donoghue or three lads in the half back line, that they get the ball in, then whether it's crossfield or whatever it is. So I think we need to try and get into that habit as well ourselves. But I think that we did too much with the last day where the ball came to Pádraic or whoever it was, and we just launched it up the field.
Yeah.
And we had an extra man, like, so we could have worked it out through hand passes and caused the overlap. And like I said to you, when Darren come on or Jack was there, or, you know, Fintan was there, we had the pace to bomb on with that overlap, and then get us to half midfield and then work in the. It's an awful lot easier to hit the ball into the forward line. It's an awful lot easier for the full forward line to move when it's coming from midfield opposed to our own 30 or 20 yard line.
That is a good point, because even in the first half, there were stages where we worked the ball really well, but we nearly seemed to go away from her, I felt, in the second half.
We did, yeah. Like I think whatever it was in the second half, there was so much ball just hit from our 21 to 45, and it was just down the lines. It was just a long, long ball. It was hard to fathom out the fact that we had the extra man, that we needed to hit the ball from such a deep position. And we should have been able to work the ball up. We should have been able to work the extra man and work the overlap. And like you could even work the overlap all the way up the line. You wouldn't even need to hit the ball in when you have an extra man like that. But like I suppose what happened there then was that when Will Donoghue come on and Gareth Hegarty come on, they did put a small bit there in the middle third, and they probably stopped us hitting the ball out, and Pádraic was forced to hit it long. But it's just something we need to work on definitely going forward. And we have the players like Dyes, unbelievable at that overlap, and Jack would be very good at it. I said to you, Darren would be good at it, so Aidan will be well able to do it. And just something I think we need to work on, because when you actually looked at it, Limerick probably overkilled the last day, where no, they are normally very, very good at it, but I think it was one of their poorest days where they overkilled the ball with hand passes. There were times there they were giving a hand pass 3 and 4 yards, but it broke down a good bit in the last day. No, it normally doesn't. But I suppose that comes with confidence. They're doing it for a long number of years now. But I suppose the other side of that is they're now bringing in young lads who are buying into the game plan straight away, like Colin Neal now has gone back in the half back line, and my God, the way he was running out there the last day, he was powerful running out from that back line. I think we need to get that into our half back line where they're just a free license to run off.
Just on Kyle Mannion's performance the last day, it was nearly like the Kyle Mannion show in the first half. Where does he rank for you with the Galway players you've played with?
Oh, he's probably, yeah, after Joe, I'd say he's probably probably up there, one of the top three lads I've ever marked. Movement and his pace is just like, I remember marking him one day down at Tyne, and you'd be beside him, and next thing he's just like a racehorse. He'd take off, like, and there was no catching him. And then the problem then as well is that he's a strike of a ball, like, he can strike off his back foot from 70, 80 yards. You can't even give him space, like, so. When he's on form like he was the last in the first half, he's up there with being unmarkable. And it's good to see him back now as well, because I know he went through a stage here of injury. So, but again, when he got the ball in front of him the last day, he's so hard to mark. Like, he can strike off his left and his right the same way. So like, he's another threat inside if he wants to bring him inside. Like, I don't know, like I think myself, I like him coming out as a floater. Like him jumping the third man from forward, and that comes out the field a bit, because striking is just like, you give him a ball 70, 80 yards out, he can pop a point. Not that the rest of the lads can, but it just gives you a better, like, a different option. And you put him in full forward or in the full forward line for a while, then if you want to bring Wheelo or Beano out for a while. But Bacall is up there, one of the hardest players I've ever marked, definitely.
Is he just one of these Galway players that has the X factor?
Yeah, he just has it all, right? Like, yeah, and it just comes so natural to him as well. Do you know the whole running side of it? Like, he's one of those lads that I hate anyway, and a lot of lads hate, where he could go out and he could eat Supermax tonight, and he could go out and he'd eat and sprints all day tomorrow, and you mightn't eat or drink for the last 5 weeks. He's just naturally very a really good athlete. And like, his touch and his strike, and then it's as good as Joe would have been, like, or. So he's just really, really natural and a real good athlete, and so he's a really nice habit.
You were just saying floater there, and it's interesting because it's probably now opened up to debate to where do you play Kyle, because you can play him inside, you can play him anywhere in the half, you can play him at midfield. You believe he should play as a floater, but where do you think he's going to play this year now?
It's very hard to know, because if you actually, and it's very hard, I'd say Henry finds it hard to know as well, because he's never had his, even close to his full 15 in the whole league, and he's going into the first round of the championship not knowing what his 15 will be. And he's probably going to piece the puzzles together from the last 2 years, opposed to what's happened in the last 2 months. So he'll have decisions to make, like Brian only came back the last, well, Brian only, you know, has played a couple of minutes here and there in the league. Wheelo obviously was missing the last day through suspension. He'll obviously be starting wherever he'll start. And then you have the decisions to make with the likes of Joey Cooney, Evan, Tom Mann, Gavin Lee played well the last day. Chipped him in his 2 points. And then you like drive. You've probably going to have the likes of Jason Flynn, who played a few minutes there, or played a good bit of the league at the start. Jamie Ryan come on the last day. So it's hard to know. Like, if it was me, I think that I'd still like, though, as I said to you earlier on, maybe a two-man full forward line with Brian and Connor inside. I think the two most effective inside. And maybe if Cahill wants to float in and out and just let him roam around. He's very good at, like, whether he be in the full forward line for a while, if he wants to come out to the half forward line, make his way out to midfield as an extra midfield. Give him that role, like, for a period of the first half, and then maybe put him into a settler role. And like, I think they do that anyway themselves. Like, I was watching Davy the last day. Davy played the first 15 minutes in midfield. He went into wing forward for 5 minutes. He created a point, let's say, for the full forward line, and ended up staying full forward for the next 5 minutes after that, and made his way back out to midfield again. So they tend to do that anyway, the lads, like, they move around. But in particular, I suppose, when it gets into the business end, all is better as just that floater where he can just go wherever he wants, and just, you know, if a man wants to follow him, they'll have to follow him, really. Like, he's too vital, you know, as an opponent not to follow.
Just another player that you would have played with, and we haven't seen a lot of him for the last 2 years, really, just being hampered by injuries. Adrian Toohey looked really sharp, looked in great condition. One point from wing back, and well, different people have made different cases about his shoulder because obviously he's a bit bigger than Fergal O'Connor. So the way he was lining up, he was probably always going to hit him high. But how big is it to have Adrian Toohey back and fully fit, and what would he bring to the group?
Yeah, like, look at Ado, he's an experienced inter-county hurler now. He's there since 2016, so he's a good few years under his belt. He's had a tough 2 years out there with injuries and stuff like that. And even 3 4 weeks ago, he got another injury. He got a shoulder in training, and he's a bit over his eye, so he's just coming back from that. So, but it was good to see him back the last, like, and like, he's a real good athlete as well, no more than Cahill. Like, he's a tough, tough hurler, and when he turns it on, like, and he likes to tough and the rough and tough side of it as well. So he does. So that game would have suited him the last day. But he's a good athlete, like, he's well able to bomb forward there, and he's a great addition to have around the place. I mentioned him there the last time we were on the podcast, that it was good to see him back in the panel. I think it was his first panel back on for the year. And I think I was talking to him the morning of that game. I met him there, he was getting a coffee, and he was saying to me that that was the first game he started in 2 years, with injury. So he kind of been floating around, and he was injured and stuff like that. So no, it's good to see him back. Like, and he's loads to offer. Like, he's absolutely loads to offer the group. And again, like I said, Jay's a seasoned campaigner, and he's one of that 2017 team that's still hanging around there, that I'm sure will be a big presence in the dressing room as well.
So just on the makeup of the Galway team at the minute, are we still a good bit away from knowing this starting 15, even going by last week? Because Fintan played really well at fullback, does tremendous on Aaron Gillan. Keenan Fahey does tremendous on Keane Lynch. But like, Dyche Burke is going to have to come in there somewhere. And then you look in attack, Connor doesn't play the last day through suspension, as you mentioned. Brian Kilcannon only comes on. It's one or two more on the bench could start. Are we still a good bit away from being close to a Championship 15?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, Darren Morrissey only came on as well the last day. So it's hard to know. Like, it's I think we are and we aren't. Like, I think that Henry, I'd say when he looks at it, he'll know he's 17 or 18 players. But I think the biggest question will be, where do you put them? Because, like, I'd say he's tried out a lot of different positions, and more than Dahi, I think Dahi played at 3, 6, and 7 in the league. So, as you said, Fintan did well the last day at fullback. So, you know, Keenan is going well. In all fairness, he's fine at there. He was very good at 6 the last day. So, you know, where does Dahi sit? Ado was good the last day. Darren obviously is one of your most. Darren has been a starter for the team the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, it's interesting to see. Like, Pádraic wouldn't have played foot cornerback for a few years, and now he's back cornerback. So does Pádraic stay there? Does Darren go back in? And then as you go up through the ranks, like, Davy got more minutes under his belt there the last day. So Sean Lennon is doing well there in midfield as well. So look, I think that there's still, I think he still has a lot of he's a lot of decisions to make in regards to where, who goes where. And I think, but I think he will know at this stage he's 18 or 19 players that he's to pick from. But look at the way things will go in 4 weeks' time, first round of the championships. The way things are looking for the last couple of weeks, more than likely going to be one or two lads out anyway, because he's, you know, he's it's the way it's been like that. He hasn't had a full team to pick from, so it's probably unlikely that he's going to have everyone fully fit for 4 weeks' time.
Probably nearly disappointed in one sense that Declan McLaughlin and Liam Collins have struggled with injuries, and even Tiernan Killeen for a stage as well throughout the league, because there would have been players that you would have kind of loved to see get game time in the league and get more minutes in their belt. Because realistically, we probably haven't seen them three enough when it comes to championship.
No, that game the last it would have been perfect for them as well. Like, you know, that would have been a real test for them to see against the likes of that Limerick full back line for the two lads, or if Tiernan was up against the likes of Garrow Hegarty when he came on or someone like that. It would have been nice to see them in it. Like, and they are the future, like that. They're going to be there for the next 10 years, and they are the lads that you'd be hoping at the minute that might come on and, you know, be the Seamus Flanagan or Peter Casey or whatever the Limerick subs are that come on, like, for this year and really drive it on. Like, they're the lads that need to push on. So it's a pity, you're right, with injuries for the likes of those. And when you look at the goal panel the last day, when you get the three of those back, Bahi and Connor, it'll be great, great competition for the 26 as well the next day, even more so than the 15. And, like, there's a great old battle going on there with Darragh and Aina and goals as well. Like, and in all fairness to Darragh, he hasn't done a thing wrong since he went in, and he was the same on Saturday. Like, his book outs were good, his distribution was good, he was great talking and stuff like that, and no mistakes or anything like that. So that'll be another decision for Henry. Like, you know, it'll be hard for Henry to drop Darragh at the minute, the way he's been so steady in Aina's replacement.
Justin Galway's lead then at halftime here. Really good in the first half, 9-12 up. We didn't get a score then in the second half until the 47th minute. We didn't necessarily struggle though in the second half, because there were loads of chances we actually had. So that's not really a concern. Tom Monaghan was really good at 11, caused huge problems from Declan Hannan just coming outside the pocket. But it was probably just one of those days at 11 where one day they go over, the other day they don't.
Yeah, in particular down the left hand side there, the stands, you know, there was just one there. Brian Beno had one down the same wing as well, just after coming on, actually. You know, there were just two vital stages. If they went over, we would have pushed on, and just stuff that, as you said, was just one of those days. I think Evan missed two frees. He'd normally get them with his eyes closed. You know, so
Jamie
there
Ryan
was
had a chance in the corner as well.
Jamie, and he cut in lovely like that time, like, you know. So, like, nine times out of ten, Jamie do that with his eyes closed as well. They're just stuff that just was just one of those days for that. And then, of course, Jimmer Burns was pinging every free he got. He didn't miss one. Like, you know, he come on and he get 4 points in the second half after coming on. You know, so it was one of those days that you need you and when you're playing Limerick, like, and especially in the second half when the big guns on, when Will Donoghue and Garrow Hegarty and Jimmer Burns and Peter Casey come on, you need those to go over. Like, you need all those to go over. Like, you might get away with that against the likes of Wexford or Kilkenny, or not even Kilkenny, but Wexford and Westmeath or someone like that, but you won't get away with that against the likes of Limerick or Kilkenny or someone like that. They need to go over. Like, and look, it was, I know I keep referencing it, like, the conditions weren't great, but at the same time, like, when Mano looks back on that, or Brian looks back on those misses, or Jamie, like, they'd be just they do that with 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, they go over the bar. So chances created won't be an issue when they go through the stats. Conversion will be, and I'd say efficiency will definitely be a big factor.
Just there when you reference Jimmy Burns, if you're almost in to go half forward line and you foul a Limerick player there, you're saying grand. But I suppose it's just when Jimmy Burns is fouled in that position, you're almost giving Limerick a score. Compared to Limerick, were they doing the same to us? There was cynical play even when Gavin got it at one stage. He was pulled across and they did it on multiple times to just stop. Garrow Hegarty made a foul again at one stage. But the difference was Limerick had, I suppose, that threat of being able to score for frees from deep, and we didn't.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, and look at, he's an unbelievable strike at the ball. Like, it's just, it's like an arrow. Like, do you know what? It wasn't even his frees. He had a massive contribution from play when he came on as well. He broke up some great ball. Overall, he just he was in the middle of rooks. He laid off a few balls. He won two great balls into Aaron Gillan and Seamus Flanagan that we spoke about earlier on. Those balls that went in were actually from him. His overall contribution when he came on was just really, really good, apart from frees. And it's more than Will Donoghue. Like, it's, and it's when you see it, when you see, I think when you see it from when they start the game, you don't see it as much as when from when they come on, like the last end. It's a while ago since I've seen the likes of three of them coming on in the space of 10 minutes. To see what they give for the last 25, 30 minutes of the game, like, and the hits they put in, the way they control the game, the way they brought the young lads along, like, they were telling Adam English to go there and telling Colin O'Neill to go there, and they just really, they really just orchestrated everything when they come on, the three lads, and you know, they put in the hits in as well, like, and it's the more than the time Davey caught your man with the hurdle that time. Like, it was Will Dunne that was in the middle of that, and he was the main man, and he was leading. Like, I remember probably lacked that in the first half, or didn't have that big physical presence to throw his weight around. And I think between the three of them, like, they changed the game in the second half, definitely, and they gave Limerick the X factor they were missing in the first half.
Is the most pleasing thing, I know we referenced we didn't lose it, but particularly when we went 17-15 down, it could have been easy to throw in the towel, but even just to the way we worked the two frees and I suppose just dug it out.
Yeah, definitely. We've lost those games in the past as well, Paul, plenty of times. Where we've went a point or two down, and in particular against Limerick, we've lost by that margin, 1 or 2 points, over the last couple of years. And you know, it was good to see, like, and it was nice to, like, and fair play to Evan, like, because as mentioned, like, he had missed two frees that wouldn't be like him at all in the first half, and you know, it took Butler to put them over the bar, and they were tough frees in the conditions, and he nailed them on, like, so. It was good, like, in all fairness, and considering the wides we had as well in the second half, it would have been easy to fold and go down. But it was very, very good, pleasing to get a draw, and like, the difference between a draw and a loss leading into the next 4 weeks would be massive as well for confidence within the camp.
Do you see them sticking now with Hinton and Keenan at 3 and 6?
It's hard to know. It's very hard to know, like, because yeah, it's hard to know. I like, if it was me personally, like, Fintan has been the best fullback in the club or in Galway for the last 4 or 5 years, without a doubt, and that goes above anyone else. Like, even if Dahi was playing fullback for Turlough, which he hasn't, but like, he's been really, really solid fullback. And if you were to go by them displays or those displays over the last couple of years, it was hard to understand why he probably hasn't been given more of a chance at fullback with the county. And even the last, you know, like, he definitely he played he embraced it the last day when Dahi wasn't there, and he really stood up to play it. And, like, in all fairness, like, he was on Aaron Gillan, like, the hurler of the year. So, like, what tougher task. But I suppose the only difference between club hurling and in county hurling is probably the fact that club hurling might suit Finchley a small bit better, where it's a lot of high ball and stuff like that, where it goes to the low ball running. I'm not sure if wing back suits Finton better when it's county. But at the same time, I don't know if Dahi is, you know, Dahi maybe suit prefers the half back line better than he prefers the full back line. So if that's the case and Dahi prefers to play in the half back line, then for me, Finton has to be full back. I think he's the best choice for Galway. And then the debate then starts in the half back line. Does Dahi play at six? Does Keenan go to the wing? Uvedo, Pádraic Mannion, where does he play? Does he play 6-5? Does he go back into the corner? Where does Darren Morrissey come on? In all fairness, like, you've probably seven or eight players for the six backs right now at the minute, and you'd be happy with any of the seven or eight start. It's a tough choice.
Are you surprised that Shane Cooney hasn't really, well, for me, I don't feel he's got a fair crack at the whip this year.
No, but I'd say Niggles again. Like,
Okay.
I'd say he's probably going through Niggles at the minute. Like, he's no look, whatever it is about in county. He just gets a bad run of him in county for injuries. But look, if we didn't even mention Midge, like, or Shane, like, he's another Looks like he's a big say. He's gonna have a big say in the back six as well. And like again, it just like it, that would game would have been perfect for him to play at six. Throw the last, they give him a test or play him at wing and whatever. Keane maybe switching around, but like it's just it's these type of games that Shane probably needs. And you probably need to see him play these type of games more so than it'll be hard for Henry to put him in the first round of the championship now after not playing the last two league games. So, look, there's loads of options. Like you have 7 or 8, 9 options there that you'd have full faith on. If you're down in the first round of the championship or second, or Leinster finals, that of having any of those 8 or 9 players starting there, and loads of experience between them all. In all fairness, over the last couple of years, so, yeah, that's Henry's. That's what he gets paid for, Henry, for making the decisions. But yeah, I'd say overall, I'd say he'd probably go with. Dahi has to slot in anyway, no matter what happens. And then what happens after that, I'd say that'll be a tough 4 weeks to make that up.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here now.
Oh,
Who's your back six for championship?
like first of all, if we go from the back six from the last day, I'm gonna move Ronan Glynn now with the back six because I think Ronan is a really, really good midfielder. I think he had a great year. I know he was caught last year with a few injuries. The year before, he had a great year for Galway midfield. And I think that he might best suit midfield. So if you leave Ronnie out to midfield, I suppose the seasoned full back line of Jack and Darren in the corners. I'm not sure how Darren is fixed injury wise.
It kind of does feel like they're this year, like in the last two games, because I know Darren started and Jack didn't. Jack started and then Darren didn't. It really feels like this year they're kind of going for one or the other.
Yeah, it does because Pádraig's played a lot of games down in the corner. So, look, I don't know what Darren's situation is, but like, I probably, if it was me personally, I probably put Pádraig, I put Pádraig out in the half back line. I put Pádraig out in the half back line. I have Fintan fullback. I have Jack one corner. I have Dahi in the half back line. I probably have Darren in the other corner. And geez, you're right, you put me in the spot here now, Paul. I'd have like the way Ado's after coming back into there now at the minute, like his hand is definitely he's hand up for a place there. I suppose game time would be the big thing with Ado now as well. Like he hasn't been much over the last few years, so.
He should be an option for midfield too, though, shouldn't he? Like, 'cause he's played a lot there.
Yeah, he plays half. He plays centre forward for the club, like so. He's played an awful lot there as well. So he'll be an option for midfield. He'll be an option for cornerback. If the lads ever like, that's where he won his Ireland, the cornerback. He's very tenacious and hard hitting cornerback. He'd be very tight marker. So like, he can play in numerous positions. Both the half back line really is just who plays where. Does Dahi play at six? Does Pádraig play at six? Keenan the last day is Keenan better suited to wing back? There's a lot of decisions to be made there in the half back line, like. Obviously, Shane now not being involved in the last while, he's not going to be, I'd say, well, maybe he will, but it'll be tough for him to start the first round of the championship. But it's a tough one to pick now in the half back line.
Yeah.
It's a tough one to pick. But I would put Ronan Glynn out to midfield if that was me. I think Ronan is just like he did well the last day as well in all fairness, and he's physically got very strong as well. He's well able to mix it now, so he is. But I was taught 2 years ago he had a great campaign in midfield.
Just on midfield, it does feel like David Burke and Sean Lennon more than likely will be there for championship. If you're to look at the forwards, does it nearly pick itself in one way? Maybe Conor Cooney moves out to the half with Kyle Mannion and Joe Cooney, and then is it Evan Ireland, Brian Kilcannon, Conor Whelan?
It's hard to know. It'd be very hard to leave Thomas Monaghan off now as well the way he's going. It's great to see Gavin Lee coming back into contention as well, like, because obviously he had a great first year in Intercounty and probably went. He didn't get much game time last year at all, so it's good to see him come back in. Like I think his loads to offer, he's really bulked up, and that was a good game for him as well the last day, and good game for him to get used to what Intercounty hurling is properly like against the Ireland champions, and he did well, like got his 2 points, so. He'll definitely have a big part to play as the year goes on, whether it'll be coming on as an impact sub or whatever it'll be. But you've nearly hit the nail on the head there with the six lads. But I think Mono will definitely have to have some sort of a part to play, whether that'll be starting or not. No, but yeah, I think inside, like Joseph, Connor, Cahal, you know, the other Connor Wheelo and Brian. And Evan, of course, in yeah, like it's yeah, you'll have a big decision to make there now with Tom Mann as well. Like he will start somewhere, I'd say.
I know, it definitely does feel like the depth is there and there's a dilemma for Henry. What does the next few weeks look like as a goal earlier? Obviously, they wanted to get to semi-final, they didn't get there. It's 4 weeks or so till their next game against Carlow, which they'll expect to win. And it probably puts them in a tricky situation. Maybe they wouldn't like to start it against one of the bigger teams. But the next 4 weeks, I know they're going to Portugal at some stage for a training camp. Does it really start to ramp up now?
Yeah, it'll probably be a down week this week. You take it easy week this week, I'd say. Just I'm not sure if they're training now Tuesday night or not tomorrow night, but they'll probably just take it easy this week and then ramp it up next week. And then they're going to Portugal for a training camp, so that'll be tough. It'll be a tough 2 weeks there in between. Then that block in between with 2 weeks where they're going to the training camp and then the
From
week in.
your own experience, like I know you're going somewhere sunny and people listening might be like, think it sounds great, but from your own experiences, are they enjoyable or is it pure torture over there?
Well, I've never had the experience of going over. So
Okay.
the furthest we got now was Photo Island, or we went up to Photo Island was probably the main one we went to actually a good bit. But we're tough going. You train 2 times a day. You be gymming. You be it's tough going. Like it's they are enjoyable though because you're away. You're training. Like it's full on. There's two different types of training camps you can go on. There's this one obviously leading up to championship will be a bit more fitness kind of aimed, and then there'll be one in between championship like that's normally between Leinster final or Ireland final. You probably go somewhere, will be more game orientated, like where you'd be doing more ball drills, 15-a-side games. So that'd be probably a bit more easier going. I'm sure the fitness side of things will be a big factor over in Portugal, so there'll be a lot of running involved, so that won't be as enjoyable. But yeah, look at I suppose it's a training camp for a reason. It's not a holiday. So
Yeah.
I'm sure they're probably trying to get the most out of it as possible. And look at it'll be that block there of the 2 weeks before the Carlow game that they'll be really, really looking to put in a big 2 weeks of fitness and getting their levels fully up to championship pace and then hit the Carlow game full steam ahead and really aim for the Leinster Championship this year. Like I think that as a group and as a county, I think that Galway they just need to win the Leinster Championship this year. Actually, there shouldn't even be a talk of an All-Ireland final or semi-final. I think just totally focus on winning the Leinster Championship, especially after last year, the way last year went. I think it's just they need silverware through a Leinster Championship, and everything after that, then take it game by game. It's a semi-final, final after that, no problem. But just go out all guns blazing and be fully focused on winning the Leinster Championship.
And how overall now, how do you think they're looking?
Yeah, it's. I suppose when you look at it there, when you go through it one by one, it's good to see that they actually have 20 players at any given time you feel comfortable with them on the field, 20, 21 players. And that's not to say the rest of the lads having a part to play. Like, and then you have the likes of Johnny. If Johnny comes back, he'll be a massive, massive influence on the whole setup. Like, not alone just out on the field. Like, he's
What does
just.
he, what will he bring?
His presence around the place, like you know, he'll be vocal, like you know, he'll be in the dressing room, he'll be vocal. He just, I suppose, the young lads will look up to him as well, like for what he's done over the last couple of years, and you know, his whole presence in the dressing room, like he's a big unit. Like when he talks, he talks sense. He's one of those when he talks, you listen, and that's it. And he'll be just a good lad to have around the place, and like look, loads of experiences. He's done it all, and he's seen it all, and he's one of those lads that he's like another lad from 2017 that has an Ireland pocket a medal in his back pocket, and he'll young lads will learn so much from him. If he comes back, that'll be massive, which he will. Obviously he's 100% there, but he'll be another one to add in. And as you said there, like when you're talking about the likes of Shane Cooney's come back from injury and the lads back, it's good to see. I suppose the only disappointing thing from the likes of the league campaign is I probably or Galway or Henry would have liked to have the likes of the Liam Collins or Tiernan Cleans or those lads pushed on a small bit more, I suppose. Like to have them a bit more up to the level of Gavin Lee, where they got more exposure to the bigger games like the Dublins or the Limericks. I suppose that was probably one disappointing factor. You could say that maybe if it comes to a Leinster final, that you haven't maybe something different to spring besides the normal subs that are there.
Who was our best player? Who was our best player in the league for you this year?
Best player in the league. Good question. I'd say overall, I suppose, like in all fairness, Tom Mahon, like there's been an awful lot of changes in swapping, I suppose, over the sports league.
Yeah.
So the team has moved around a good bit, like consistently, I suppose. Who's played the most games? Tom Mahon, Evan Nile has played a good few games. Thomas Lads came back in. Sean Lennon in all fairness has played a good few games. He's been very solid in all fairness. I thought Connor Cooney has pushed on, especially the start there when he came back. He was very good for the first few games when he came back in. In particular the Tipperary game. It was good to see him back shooting again in that one. Do you know what? I think Derek has been very solid in goals as well, in all fairness. It's great to him see him so solid in goals. And I suppose sometimes that can be overlooked, especially when he's coming in there in his first real year of getting a run of it.
Just then, finally, before we do finish, Ravels obviously reached the Crow Cup final there on Paddy's Day. It's just been a remarkable rise for Ravels over the last few years, but the way they pushed St Kieran's all the way and ultimately just come up short, like just absolute heartbreak, really, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just so disappointing. Whatever about losing a normal time, but losing extra time like that and the way they did, and like it's always and ever when we were growing up, it was always Bridges for the strongest team, like Bridges for dominating in Loughrea for so many years. And the way they've changed it around over in Loughrea now with the minute Renif has got so strong, it's a credit to the likes of the teachers that are over there. And I just know a few of them in particular, Franny Ford and John Hardiman, a few of that crew. Like it's just. It's to get to an Ireland club final like that, it's or school final like that, it's a massive, massive achievement and not easy to do. I know in our own school there in Gort, we've lost so many semi-finals down through the years in Gort Community School, and it's a long time ago since we were in our Ireland final at St Colman's from Cork, beat us back in 2000 or 19. 1,000, I think it was, and it's a really, really hard thing to do, and it's just it's awful disappointing for the way they lost, and especially the work they've put in over there. It's been brilliant, like, and it's great to see a Galway team competing in it, and in particular the fact that Athenry have been so strong in the competition for the last few years. It's great to see Rayfield's breakthrough. I know my own club mate there, Mike Mullins. He'll take a small bit of credit for that. He was teaching there for a few years before he went off to sunny Dubai to live the good life, so he'll be looking to take a small bit of credit for that, I know it.
Just on a couple of the performers from over the weekend, Vince Morgan 1-3, really impressive. Bobby Feeney 5 points. Young Paddy McCarthy, I think he was the captain. He played for Sarsfields this year and was tremendous in the club championship, 5 from play. Colleen Killeen 2 points, Oscar O'Gorman 1 point. Like, we're going to see some of these players in a couple of weeks with the Galway under-20s, but like there's some serious talent on that team that we probably are going to see come through over the next few years.
Yeah, without doubt. Like, and it's amazing when you actually go through the names there, the way the names are coming through again. So many names you'd have recognized with hurling families down through the years, and they're starting to break through again, and sons of ex-hurlers and stuff like that, which is always the case, and that normally leads to massive success. And yeah, looking forward to seeing the 20s now in a few weeks' time. I know they've great work done there with the 20s, and Been talking to Ben there and Nathan in our club, and they're putting in a big effort there. So looking forward to see what they do now, and be interesting to see what Fergal and Joe and James and them and what way they get them prepped. And yeah, it'll be great to see the likes of all those young lads coming through and stepping up to the fore, like in the more new said they're now in club championship as well this year. Galway, it'll be good to see them lads, see them in action.
How has it been back on the hurling pitch?
Tough going out with this weather, Paul, I won't lie.
Yeah.
It's tough going. It's hard enough getting a text message on the group at 6 o'clock in the evening saying we can't train the pitch, we have to go to the Astro because of the conditions. So it's tough out there at the minute, but I know it's grand. The league is starting back now in 2 weeks' time. We're out the first week of April. I think the league is starting back for everyone. So be enjoyable to be back playing matches, but hopefully all the weather picks up as well, because I don't think there's any pitch in the county at the minute that's playable. But yeah. The teams are getting a lot younger and I'm not getting any younger, so it's getting tougher out there to keep up with them. But yeah, no, it's gonna be a long year, so it'll be interesting. Hopefully the draw of the groups will be quicker this year now, so we'll know who's playing who.
How many seasons now is this record for you?
Jeez, I'll be giving away my age now, Paul. I think I'm probably on no, I think it's 20th this year, 20th year playing with Gortiniers, is 19th or 20th. So
Has it changed a lot when you were a young lad starting out compared to
oh yeah,
the young lads coming through now?
massively, like yeah, and like even like when I started out first and you had the likes of Niall Linnan and Inda Linnan and Ollie Fahey and these lads, and they were the strength and conditioning side of things and the gym side of things didn't really count for them lads, so it's such a big factor now with everyone, like, and you know, if you don't, I even see with our young lads, like the lads that are 19, 20, 21, they're in the gym like since November trying to, you know, bulk up and get up to the size of what most club hurlers have been out within the county, like, and those extra 3 months will stand to them massive from November, December and January before everyone goes back on the pitch. And if you don't do it, you're falling behind, and that's what every other club is doing. And it's amazing to see like that standard has come to, like, and you know, when you look back at Intercounty and you look at when the gym really hit Intercounty, that's the way it was, like, you know. And I think club level has now got Intercounty standard where, you know, it's I even see with us there now this year, like we've trackers and everyone, like, you know, and you're tracking everyone, like, and I remember when we back in 2015 or 14 or 15 when we got the trackers down in Loch George in November for Intercounty, we only had 10 of them in the county board only gave us 10, so you pick a random 10 every night. You know, and now here we are in 2024 and every club member has one, never mind an inter-county player, you know. So that's the level it's gone to now, and it's outrageous, like, and you know, that's our club, like, and I've heard over the last couple of weeks of other clubs and the level they've gone to, like, and the stops they're pulling out for club training for the last couple of weeks, and it's just crazy, like, and it's hard to know where it's going to stop, to be honest with you, because like we're back training on the field now. We're only back 3 weeks in the field. But like there's clubs back training, running on the pitch or even not on the pitch in fields since January, like, you know. And the first round of the championship is the first round of August. So like it's hard, no, like if you get a good run in championship, like you're probably not going to finish up. You know, for the teams that get through to the club to be final or final, it's the first week of November, second week of November. So it's basically 11 months of the year, 10 months of the year, like, so it's tough going, like, as a club player now, like, and like here I am, I'm in my 19th or 20th year, like, but like it's hard to see the longevity of club players going forward. They're going for 11 months of the year from 19 years of age. Will they be still going in, or not even 19, 18, some of them 17, like, will they be still going in 20 years' time playing club hurling if they're going 11 months of the year? It's tough going, like, and then of course if injuries are getting more common, like, and this dreaded cruciate is just popping up all over the place now, like, and you know, you'd wonder what the factor is behind that. Like, I see Seamus Kennedy from Tipperary doing his there the last, like, and
Mm.
I was actually watching the game and tell you, like, and it was just so simple, like he just literally went to stop and turn, no one near him, and you know, it's all these factors that are just kicking in, like, and you just wonder where club hurling is, like, and I just like I was talking to our manager, David Hoban, last night, and just happened to meet him, and I was chatting away to him, and he was just chatting away about Kavara, like, and he was just saying that Canberra Hurling Club at the minute. Like Conor Whelan is one of their oldest players. I think Conor's 26. I think he's one of the oldest players in the panel, like Sean. You know, it's just amazing. Like that's the way it's gone now. Like whereas when we were coming on, when I came on the scene, like you could have 10 lads, 15 lads over 30 years of age, and that was normal. Like so, yeah. It's changing times. It's definitely changed an awful lot since I came on, and I think it's down to just the commitment that's involved now in being a club hurler. It's the same as what Intercounty was 10 years ago.
For sure. That's all we do time for on today's podcast. We'll be back next week with another podcast. But Craig, thanks a million for coming on.
Here's what he's probably, yeah, after Joe, I'd say he's probably probably up there, one of the top three lads I've ever marked. Movement and his pace is just like I remember marking him one day down at Tyne, and you'd be beside him, and next thing he's just like a racehorse. He'd take off, like, and there was no catching him. And then the problem, then, as well, is that he's a strike of a ball, like, he can strike off his back foot from 70, 80 yards. You can't even give him space, like, so. When he's on form like he was the last in the first half, he's up there with being unmarkable. And it's good to see him back now as well, because I know he went through a stage here of injury. So, but again, when he got the ball in front of him the last day, he's so hard to mark. Like, he can strike off his left and his right the same way. So, like, he's another threat inside if he wants to bring him inside. Like, I don't know. Like, I think myself, I like him coming out as a floater. Like him jumping the third man from forward, and that comes out the field, but because striking is just like you give him a ball 70, 80 yards out, he can pop a point. Not that the rest of the lads can, but it just gives you a better, like a different option. And you put him in full forward or in the full forward line for a while, then if you want to bring Wheelo or Beano out for a while. But McCall is up there, one of the hardest players I've ever marked, definitely.
Is he just one of these goal players that has the X factor?
Yeah, he just has it all right. Like, yeah, and it just comes so natural to him as well. Do you know the whole running side of it? Like, he's one of those lads that I hate anyway, and a lot of lads hate, where he could go out and he could eat Supermax tonight, and he could go out and he'd eat and sprint all day tomorrow, and you might eat or drink for the last 5 weeks. He's just naturally a really good athlete.